Let us turn again to Psalm 71, and let us consider verse 8, that the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 71, and at verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. And the psalmist here, it's not mentioned who that psalmist is. It could have been David, I'm sure, but whoever it was is conscious of putting his trust in the Lord. And he asks that he would never be put to confusion, that he would never be left to a confused state of mind. When that was so, he looks to the Lord as his strong place of habitation, where he might go continually for safety. He has to be delivered from the wicked. For God is his hope. He has been his trust since he was young. He thinks of himself as a wonder unto many, that he has been preserved till now, presumably. God is a strong refuge, and therefore, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Let it be filled continually, all the day. Let him be speaking to the praise of God. Let him be singing to the praise of God. And let him be seeking to speak to the honor of God. God is to be praised. God is to be honored. And to praise him is to honor. There will be other ways of showing honor, but to praise him is to honor. And as the Lord may be pleased to help us, let us make three main points this morning. First, we will ask the question, why should we praise God? Why? In the second place, what should we be saying by way of praise to God? And there'll be something of an overlap between these two, but we will try and keep to the particular emphasis for each of these main points. And in the third place, how can anyone praise God? What I'm thinking of there is that we're sinners. And how can sinners praise God? What does it need so that sinners like us would praise God? So we've got these three questions then. First, why? Why should we praise God? Second, what? What should we say by way of praise to God? And third, how is it possible that a sinner can praise God? First then, why? Well, if we notice what was said in Psalm 96, the last verse we sang, and I'll put it in the prose version, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. There's a glory that is due to God. Why should we praise God? Because it is right, it is necessary, it is commanded that we should praise God. We might speak of our relationship to the government and that taxes are due from many people in one way or another. Taxes are due to the government. Now this is something quite different, I know. But there's this common element that praise is due to God. It's what he has a right to. And however we might quibble or argue in relation to various demands made by the government, I'm thinking just now in terms of taxes particularly, but whatever we might say, that's not right. There can be no such argument in relation to God. There is praise due to him. If we're not praising God all the day, we're coming short of God's glory. If we're not praising God at all, there's something wrong. And may we go before the Lord with that in view and ask him to put us right and give us the spirit of praise. This whole attitude of our in relation to our the connection that there is between us and God, the Creator and the creature. God our Creator, we his creature. And that we would take that into account and that we would be acting as we should do when there is this word used in the expression, the glory due unto his name. And that glory is due to him, that we would be concerned to praise him, to give him a glory, to seek to glorify him in relation to praising him. And you see, David in Psalm 145, and there is much there that is relevant, but just at verse 2 just now, every day will I praise thee. Notice, all the day and every day. All the day in our text, every day in Psalm 145. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Not just in this world, but throughout eternity. Now, why? That's our question. We get one answer here, and it is a very central part of the whole answer. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The Lord is great. He is infinite. Now, we can't understand that. But you could put it like this. However far you go in thinking of or speaking of the greatness of God, you can always go further. And though, and even the spirits in heaven and the angels in heaven, how far they would go, ever far they would go in the knowledge of God and of the greatness of God, and however far they would go in praising him accordingly, there's always an unlimited degree of that beyond. You see, God is infinite. There's no bounds to his being. There's no limit to what he is. We cannot understand how great God is. But may the Lord give us some sense of his greatness. We might think of the greatness of his power. Well, that's true. But it's his greatness in every possible way. It's his greatness in relation to every attribute. Everything that is true about. That's what's meant by the word attribute. The word, his properties, is a word that is sometimes used, but perhaps, and it might be just personal preference, but I would prefer to speak about his attributes. Just what is true about him, what is revealed about him, whether it's his power, his justice, his mercy, his wisdom, or anything else. There's no limit to it. It's perfect. It's complete. And therefore he should be praised. We should see something of the greatness that is involved in these things. And we should praise. You see, every day will I bless thee, and that amounts to praising. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. I will praise thee as thou hast revealed thyself. That's the name of God, what he has revealed about himself. We're to be praised. May the Lord forgive us for our lack of praise, for our coming short. May the Lord forgive us and work in us so that we would be praising. Yes. You see, what you have at verse 19, thy righteousness also is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Yes. Who is like unto thee? Thou art so great. Thou art so glorious. Whatever it is, who is like unto thee? That's what we're to say. Who is like God? Who is like God among the sons of those in mighty earth? That's true. But who anywhere? Who among the angels in heaven? And that's a higher order of beings than we belong to. Who is like unto God? Well, angels are finite creatures. Whether we can understand their being and their powers and so on, that's one thing. But they're limited. There's a limit to it. Though it's great, but there's no limit to the greatness of God. No limit. He is infinitely great, and therefore he is to be praised. And we should bear in mind, in connection with the greatness of God, that it's all good. There's no flaw in it. What a fearful thing, an infinite creature, if that was possible. What a fearful thing it would be for an infinite being to be sinful, to have a moral thought, a moral flaw. What a fearful thing that would be. A being with infinite power and infinite wisdom, but not pure wisdom, cunning wisdom. And of course, while the devil is finite, he has very great power. And what a dangerous being he is when he is evil, tremendously evil. But there's a restraint on him. He would go very far. He came into this world and destroyed it, in a sense. When he came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he destroyed its blessedness. As far as God allowed these consequences to to run. But you see, he came with good news even to a fallen world. He came to speak about the seed of the woman who was the Son of God, who is to come and bruise the head of the serpent. And what a mercy that was. That though Satan has such power and runs riot, we might say, over the whole world. He hasn't got unlimited power, and he hasn't got unlimited fleet. And we're to praise the Lord for that. How we should praise that there shall limit, there shall restraint being placed upon the evil one. And you see in Psalm, in 99, you find this: let them praise thy name. God is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Terrible in the sense of awe-inspiring. We should have a view of God that would bring out awe. We should fear the Lord. We should live with a sense of awe towards God, and accordingly let us praise him for what he has revealed about himself as holy. He has revealed himself as holy. You see, set apart. He is apart from his creature. He has a dignity. He has an authority. We should sense that. We should stand in awe, and we should praise. Why should we praise God? Because he is holy. He is all glorious. Now we might take holy to mean his perfection, his flawlessness. There's nothing wrong in the being of God. It's all perfect. He is holy. But we might take holy to mean the sum total of all his attributes and the glory that God has, and therefore the glory that is due to him. Yes. Let us examine ourselves. Are we giving glory to God? Are we doing so all the day? Are we giving the glory, the degree of glory to God that is due to him? There you have it. The glory of God, the glory that is due to God because of how great he is. Incomparably great. Perfectly holy. And again, still in Psalm 99. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Yes. Praise is worship. We're to be admiring the greatness of God, and to be speaking out to him his greatness. Speaking to him with a sense of greatness. And just as the Psalms are our book of praise, one that is revealed, one that we do use and ought to use for his praise, particularly in public worship. But see in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You see that relationship between creator and created. We are to enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and that should be in our praise, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his praise endureth to all generations. These attributes of God, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, and mercy and goodness are very much in the same area, but his truth, his faithfulness to what he has revealed. And because of all that, and all that is not mentioned there of the greatness of God and the greatness of what is true about him, we are to praise. Yes. Now, when we live in this world, it's not going to be smooth sailing always. If ever it is smooth sailing, we might think it is so, but we might be wrong. There's always so many difficulties round the corner. Or perhaps they're just out of our field of vision and we're just not looking. But you see what the Savior said. In this world you shall have tribulation. And in the experience of tribulation, what are we to do? Are we to forget about praising God? Absolutely not. Let us listen further to what the Savior was saying. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, whatever circumstances we are in, whatever sad circumstances they may be, however difficult our circumstances, whatever hardships of one kind or another we may have to endure, whatever spiritual difficulties, you see, the people of God are being told, the disciples, those who are learning in the school of Christ, if one might put it like that, there are classrooms in the school of Christ where what is to be learned is how to endure tribulation, for instance. But you see, in these classrooms, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. I am in control, you see. The Savior is on the throne. Those in whom the people of God are trusting. Those in whom the people of God are trusting. He is the one that is ruling. And therefore let their trust be all the stronger. But besides that, be of good cheer. Be praising. Be thankful. Be praising. Be thankful. It's very difficult, you say. And that's no doubt true. But where are we to go in our difficulties? Where are we to go in that difficulty? But to the one that is on the throne, the one who is faithful. Now I'm speaking about Christ just now. Though Christ is God, but I'm speaking about Christ. He is the mediator. It's through him we are to go to God. Yes. And you might be saying, my praise doesn't amount to very much. That might be true. But go before the Lord Jesus with your praise and ask him to present your praise as the great mediator between God and you. Let him purify your praise and present it before the Lord. Secondly, what should be the content of our praise? What should we be speaking about as we praise? What should be motivating us? Well, perhaps that's not quite what I should have, what I meant to say, but it's a relevant question. But, you see, what particular truths, what particular experiences should give rise to praise? Well, the first thing is we're to praise God because of what he is. These ideas that I've been speaking about, these attributes of God, they are to lead us to praise. But see what David says in Psalm 145 again. I will speak, the way of praise, I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty. That's the first. God's greatness. God's majesty. I will speak of that in the way of praise. Do we know what to praise God for? Well, have we any view, have we any even limited view of the greatness of God, the greatness of God's wisdom, the greatness of God's power, the greatness of God's justice, the greatness of God's mercy, and so on? Well, let us speak of these things back to God. Now, we're not telling God anything he doesn't know perfectly already, and we know these things only in a limited way, and perhaps only in a very, very limited way. No doubt that's true. Even when we compare what we know with what has been revealed, and when we compare what we know with the reality of what God is. Yes. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. You see, what God is, and then what God does. And because of both these things, we are to praise God. We are to speak to his glory. We are to speak about God's honour in relation to these various things. The glory of creation, the glory of salvation, the glory of God in salvation, the glory of God in creation. Now, the second of these, the glory of God in salvation, is so much greater than the other. God revealed himself wonderfully. People had eyes to see it, and if their minds weren't blinded by a refusal to accept that there is a creator, what wonderful things we would see for which we should praise God. But if we look at salvation, if we look at what had to be done, and what was done that there might be salvation for sinners, that Christ Jesus had to come into the world to save sinners, and that he conquered the devil, that he bore sin away. What reason for praise? These are things that should fill our mouths with praise and speaking to the honour of God all the day. Now you see, what was said in prophecy through Zechariah, what was fulfilled when Christ walked into Jerusalem, or rode into Jerusalem, on an ass. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Her king was coming, and the king was to be praised because he ruled perfectly in the fear of God, King Jesus. But he is just. He is bringing salvation. He was coming with a view to working out redemption. Therefore, the daughter of Zion, the people of God, even those who outwardly were the people of God, they were to rejoice greatly. What a sight! The Son of God is coming in human nature to work out deliverance for sinners. He has come. He has risen from the dead. He is exalted in heaven. He is sitting in control of the whole universe. He is on the throne of glory. He is drawing sinners to himself. He is causing that the gospel would be preached everywhere. What's to be our response? Well, there's to be the response of faith, of course. We are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to praise. We are to praise God for giving his only begotten Son. We are to praise Jesus for his finished work. Not only a work undertaken, but a work finished, a work complete, a work that therefore is completely reliable. What reason to praise? Oh, follow it through yourself until Christ will come the second time without sin unto salvation. And when he will say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. What's the response? It'll be a response of perfect praise. Not sinful praise. If that's not putting words together which are clashing too much with each other. But, as I'm sure you appreciate, what I mean is, praise that is not free from sin. Oh, if we've got praise arising from a regenerated soul, that's a good thing. But you see, when a soul is not only regenerated, but when that soul is made perfectly holy, what praise there will be, what praise in heaven. And there were people you knew in this world, and they had begun to praise the Lord. And they might have condemned themselves for the weakness and imperfection of their praise. But there's no imperfection in it now that they are in glory. They don't need to be told. They don't need to say to themselves, let my mouth be filled with thy praise. And with thy honour all the day. It is full. They don't even need to sleep. Their praise is going on continuously. Absolutely continuous. And there's no sin there. What a blessed thing. You can speak about the blessedness of heaven in many a way. And especially the blessedness of being in the immediate presence of God. But, you see, we're not to forget this, that it will be praise arising in an environment and from a heart where there is no sin. Yes. Again from Psalm 145, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Speak of the glory of the kingdom of God. Well, yes, the glory of the kingdom of God, that part of it in heaven. But what about the kingdom of God in this world? It has a glory. And it is this glory, for instance, that it has, that it survives in spite of all the power of Satan to bring it down. The kingdom of God, weak though it is today, has not collapsed and it will never collapse. The kingdom of God will never collapse. It'll never be swept away. How are we to react to that thought? Well, there's this in it at least. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. There's this in Isaiah 52. Break forth into joy. Why? For the Lord hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That might well have had its first fulfillment in terms of the deliverance of Israel from Babylon. How weak they were when they were taken into captivity. How weak they still were when they were brought back from captivity. But where was the strength? It was the strength of God. God in his providence, God in his kindness towards his church, that it might be brought back into a better environment. The promised land, where the Lord would watch over it. Oh yes, He did wonders of grace in Babylon for his people. But here is a wonder of gracious kindness that he brought them back from Babylon. But every deliverance throughout the world, throughout the history, you see, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. In terms of every deliverance, in terms of every revival, in terms of what was done, for instance, in Samaria, and there was great joy in that city. When there was a great work of grace done, and let my mouth be filled with praise in connection with every sinner that is brought into the kingdom of God. And surely the people of God have something with that today, when they hear of someone who has been brought into the kingdom of God, or they see evidence of it in someone, particularly someone near and dear to them. And do they go away to where they bow their knee before the Lord with praise in their mouth and praise in their heart, that this sinner has been delivered from Satan's kingdom, as they trust that that is the case? They're not infallible in that matter and in any other. But you see, to hear of a sinner brought into the kingdom of God, and if we were, and we read about Philip in Samaria, and then we hear of Philip in the desert. And what good is he going to do in the desert? Oh, there's a man there that is struggling in his understanding with the prophecy of Isaiah. And he asks a few questions. And the man tells him what he has been reading and that he cannot understand it. And Philip began at that scripture and preached unto this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached to him, Jesus. And the man believed with all his heart. The man was saved. It was no city. It was just the two of them there. But no doubt their mouths were filled with praise and with the honor of God. And the eunuch went on his way. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip went back to Israel, no doubt rejoicing as well. Perhaps we don't meet Philip again, but he no doubt went on with his work quietly, and from time to time his mouth would be filled with praise and with the honor of God. And every reason, he had every reason to praise God as he saw the triumphs of grace. And even when we see few of these triumphs, yet we are to praise the Lord, because the power is there and the mercy of God is still the same. And the power of God remains unchanged. And we have many, many promises of what the Lord will still do. We should praise the Lord for his goodness to us as individuals. Take verse 6, for instance. The psalmist acknowledging God, saying, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of me. And everything else that transpired in his life, every other deliverance, every care that was taken off him, every promise of God that was set before him, every time that his thoughts were drawn out before God, let my mouth be filled with praise because of that. Let my mouth be filled with it, not just a stray thought, though you can be thankful for every stray thought that goes in the right direction, if it's proper to call these stray thoughts. But no doubt you know what I mean. Yes, or again at verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. That's to the praise of God. You see, whatever has been said about the greatness and the glory and the wonder of God and the wonder of his works, you see, if we're speaking of it in a right way, there will be an eye to God and to our duty to praise him. But how can anyone, how can any sinner praise God? Well, let us take another expression from Psalm 145. It is this, thy saints shall praise thee. Anything else is not really praise. Yes, those who are unconverted should seek to join in the singing of the Psalms, for instance, but they should be seeking true heart praise. The gift of God, the gift of salvation. And one element in that gift of salvation is the power, the grace to praise God. And if you have some hope of having passed from death into life, and you are still saying, I don't know if I'm praising God at all, far less praising him all the day, well, ask the Lord to work. Surely there's something of an acknowledgement of the honor of God when you are acknowledging your need of God's grace, God's power in you, so that you would praise. You might be saying, oh, that I would even begin to praise God. Well, if you're saying that, if that's a desire rising from your heart, surely there is something of praise in your heart, however feeble, however weak, there is something of that in your soul already. But you see, our first duty is to turn to God. You know that in Psalm 2, where principally the kings of the earth, but also surely those who are their subjects, they are told to rejoice with trembling. You see, it's not just rejoice. It's rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with the fear of God in your heart. Rejoice with the fear of God in your heart. Yes. Not that brashness and lightness that goes with so much that is called praise of God. And praise is not just singing. I think I made that point already. Singing should be praise. But, you see, there is much singing that is not really praising God. There's no serious thought there. The rejoicing lacks the trembling. The rejoicing has this absent from it, the fear of God, that holy respect we should have for God, that infinite being who made us. Yeah. And then Psalm 2 goes on, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. The Son of God who became man, the one who worked out redemption for sinners, kiss him. What does that mean? Well, you could say, embrace him. Perhaps that doesn't really take us very much further on. But it's a going out of our hearts to God in love, with the beginnings of love. A going out of our hearts to God through Christ in faith. Kiss the Son. Well, believe in the Son. You see, what we're doing just now is trying to establish how people can come into a condition where they are able to praise God from the heart, sincerely, spiritually. Yes. Kiss the Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Believe in him as the mediator. Yes. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Just a little of the divine anger going out against us would overwhelm us, and we would be in hell in an instant. But what's set before us? Kiss the Son. Receive Christ. Look to him. Trust in him. As the one who made provision, a full provision for the salvation of sinners. Yes. Look to Christ now. Look to him now, before it is too late. So that you will begin to praise Christ in this world. And somebody who has been doing so for decades might be saying this: if I'm praising him, it's just a beginning. Well, it no doubt is just a beginning. It might not be quite the beginning of the beginning, but you might still justifiably call it a beginning. Compared with what it will be in heaven, it's a beginning. Yes. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Ah, blessed the soul that is praising him sincerely, even beginning to praise him in this world. Blessed is that soul. Their trust is in Christ. All will be well with them, however great the difficulties. Yes. Now, you see, there's backsliding. And David, at one stage in his life, was a backslider. And what he was praying was, deliver me from blood guiltiness, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I will get back to praising thee, he was saying. Now, whatever the sin is that has taken you away from Christ in a degree, you're to pray, deliver me from that sin. You're not, I would assume, guilty of the blood of anybody else. You didn't sin in that way. But there's many a sin. And some sins can have a powerful effect negatively on the state of a believer. I started to say the word standing, but I came back from that because that suggests perhaps that the justification of a sinner can be interfered with. It cannot. But their spiritual state, their spiritual condition can be interfered with. But you see, where are we to go? We're to come before God through Christ. We're to look to Christ as the great mediator, that our sin might be forgiven and that we would be made more holy. Yes. And where is the praise of being offered up to God today? Well, you could say perfectly safely, in the heart of every saved sinner. But yet, we have this promise: from the rising of the sun, even to the going down thereof, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. My name shall be great, not just among the Jews, though there will be a return of the Jews, but among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. Incense is a symbol of prayer, and prayer including praise throughout the world. That's to be looked forward to. And we can praise the Lord even in a day of small things, that great things are promised. God will do it. We cannot specify the time. That's hidden from it. It wouldn't be good for us to know the time. But the Lord knows it. The Lord knows. And we should be thankful for that. We should praise the Lord for blessings yet to come. Not only blessings of the past and blessings of the present, but blessings yet to come. And of course, as I have indicated, praise will be perfect in heaven. We have a snatch of that praise in Revelation 7, when we are told of those who cried with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God." That was their praise. That the glory of salvation would be attributed to the great God. To each of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Yes. Well, let us go back to Psalm 95 and note what is said there at verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why? For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And you could understand that in terms of those who are truly trusting in the Lord. We are the sheep of his pasture. And the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. But we can go wider than that, because those who are being addressed have this said to them, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart," as in the provocation. And whatever provocations there may be on the part of God's children, that clearly is being addressed to those who, in any sense, are within the visible church, who are hearing the gospel and hearing the warnings about sin and hearing about Christ as Savior. They're not to harden their heart. You see, today you are to receive the truth. You are to go before God and seek his blessing for various reasons. That your souls might be saved. That you might escape the wrath to come. That you might not go down to eternal destruction. But also that you would begin to praise God, and that you would be in a position by God's grace to praise him forever in heaven. Do not harden your heart as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Do not harden your heart as, if that is the case, you have been going on to this time rejecting Christ and refusing the offer of salvation. Do not harden your heart, but look to Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Give us grace. Give us grace so that we might live before thee. Give us grace so that we might praise thee. And then we might do so all the day, that our mouths would be filled with thy praise and with thine honour all the day long. May we be pleading for that. Remember us, Lord, in thine infinite mercy. Wash away our sin. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Do not leave us to ourselves. Grant to ascend power with thy word. May we not forget it. May we not think of this duty of praise as too far from us to be realistic for us. But our Lord, may we seek thee. May we be brought to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn thou us unto thee. Do not leave us in our sins. Do not leave us in unbelief. And grant thy people grace to grow in grace and to grow in the grace that would lead them to praise thee. Pardon our sin, make us thankful, bless thy truth. For Jesus' sake, amen.